This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, an amazing Thursday, and there are ups, there are downs, and we'll go through everything on the show. Here's what's on tap for tonight. We'll give the latest and worst, frankly, update on all this government funding stuff. That's interesting. The Wall Street Journal has breaking news. Joe Biden has been diminished for the entirety of his presidency. That is freaking hilarious. Why are there Chinese police stations in New York City? We have updates on illegal immigration, Disney feminist characters, store closures, and a ton of emails. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And before I forget, and before I get to anything else, allow me to remind you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, our final one before Christmas. Ask me anything. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. They are already coming in fast and furiously. All right, now let's discuss the government funding disaster as it stands right now. I will get to the Trump, Chip Roy soap opera stuff in a little bit. Donald Trump, in case you're wondering, came out today, publicly blasted Chip Roy, and basically threatened to primary him. All right. We'll get to that in a few. I'll tell you what I think about that. But let's go back to the funding thing, because there's something I can't stop thinking about. Something that I can't get out of my mind. Yes, we shot down, the people themselves rose up in their anger and shot down the 1,500-page disastrous government funding thing with all kinds of crooked stuff in it. Elon Musk got on board, helped out. Trump kind of did. It was more towards the end of the day. The thing was dead, really, by the time Trump came out, so it was really more you. It was more social media, these people feeling our anger, people exposing all the corrupt things in the bill. Okay, so let's just get a couple things out of the way. That one's done, but there's another one coming. And that's going to be horrible too. They're going to take the one they already had, and they're going to find the terrible parts of it that were making the most headlines, the vaccine mandate stuff and all that stuff that's in there. And they're going to shave that stuff off the top to get rid of the bad headline stuff. And they're going to bring back to us an identical 1,500-page bill like they did before. We talked about last night the why. That was the whole first hour of the show. You already get it by now. All these people are only interested in keeping the scam, keeping the robbery going. Continue robbing the Treasury. Okay, we got all that. But pause on that for a moment. There's an angle to this that nobody talks about that I do, and it drives me insane. You know, I wrote a book. Sorry, I just have to tell you about it. Stop, I'm not trying to sell you a book. I'm going somewhere with this. But you know, I wrote a book, one book. Stop asking me. I'm not writing another one. I'm glad you love this one. But I wrote the book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, me and my co-author, my friend Nick Rizzuto. And it's an interesting thing about writing a book, you see. Something I didn't fully realize before I did it. You see, the Anti-Communist Manifesto, if you're watching on the simulcast, I'm holding it up right now, I'm thumbing through it. It has roughly about 270, 275 pages of actual content. That's the book. You know, chapter one, chapter two, all that. That's the actual book. But there is this huge section in the back of the book. Man, it's page after page after page after page. And you know what this huge section in the back of the book is? Citations. You see? In fact, there are so many citations that we numbered them in the book. And there are, to be specific, 571 citations in the Anti-Communist Manifesto. If I, on any page, pick your page, if I cite a statistic, I read a quote, I do something, I am required, the publisher requires it. Authors are required to do a citation for it. If I, anywhere in my book, said something like, one in every 5,000 lobsters is blue, and that might be true, I forget, it's one in 4,000, one in, whatever. If I said that in my book, I can't just say it in the book. I, as an author who wrote one book, I must cite where I got that information. And when I cite where I got that information, just to be totally clear about this, it can't be just, well, I heard from a friend. No. Well, here's an example. This is number 118. I just opened to it right here. Larry Krasner, District Attorney Krasner's statement on the Trump administration actions targeting cities, Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, July 20th, 2020. Okay, so it's who said it. It's the specific date he said it. It's the title of what he said. And to take it one step further, in the book, it's right here. There's an actual URL, an actual website, a specific one where you can click on the exact thing I cited in the book. That was number 118. There's 271 of these, virtually one for every page in the book. Now, let me ask you something. Is this book important? In the grand scheme of things, I'm glad you enjoyed the book, and I'm glad you got things out of it and made you laugh and gave us, you know, some ideas going forward. I realize that. You know, but in the grand scheme of things, is the Anti-Communist Manifesto by Jesse Kelly important as it pertains to the lives of 300 million Americans? It's just a book. It's informative, and hopefully you laugh, but it's just a book. Okay. So in a relatively unimportant book, I am required to tell you exactly where I got the information. The who, what, when, where, and why. Okay, let's set that book aside. 1,500 pages. That's the one we just defeated. The next one will be that big too, don't get me wrong. But 1,500 pages. And in that 1,500 pages were terrible thing after terrible thing after terrible thing. We went through it all yesterday. You went through it all. I went through it all. We already laid it all out. Congressional pay raises, funding brand new bio labs, vaccine mandates, more government censorship, page after page after page after page. Terrible thing, terrible thing, terrible thing, terrible thing. Let me ask you a question. Who put that stuff in there? What's his name? No, don't do what everyone else does. What you probably just did. Lobbyists. Nope. Lobbyists is nobody's name. Well, there's staffers. Nope. Staffer is nobody's name. Nope. Absolutely not. Who put it in there? Let's focus on, we'll just do congressional pay raises. That has everyone mad. Who put it in there? Someone wrote it down. Someone thought of it, someone wrote it down, and someone put it in the bill. And you know why I'm asking you the question? Because you can't answer the question. And you want to know why you can't answer the question? Because virtually nobody can answer the question. I've been doing media for about 6 years now. I left the real world and I came to do this ridiculous job of media. And during this time, I've gotten to know many United States senators, many members of the House of Representatives, and their staffers, communications guys, chiefs of staff. I know all kinds of people in and around Capitol Hill. And I have asked repeatedly, in fact, you've heard me ask this on air before, who writes these things? Who wrote this? Who wrote this? Who wrote this? I ask it publicly. I ask it privately. And to this date, 6 years later, not a single solitary person has been able to give me an answer. Not one. And they're not lying because they give me the same answer in private. You know what answer I get from the people there? Members of the House of Representatives? You know what I get? I don't know. That's normally what I get. I don't know. Or if they go beyond that, they say lobbyists, K Street. Yes, but K Street is nobody's name. I just explained that I had to tell you specifically who put things in the Anti-Communist Manifesto, an unimportant political book I put out last year. We are a country of 300 plus million people, the most powerful country in the history of the world, and we have no idea whatsoever the names, motivations, employers of the men and women who write the laws that govern the land of the country. Does that maybe seem like a really, 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 really big deal? It's not enough to sit in rage against a 1,500-page continuing resolution. I want to know the name of the person who put the evil things in the bill. And why don't I? Why don't you? Let's finish this talk here in just a second. Before we do that, let's talk about our dogs. I got this email. I love you guys. Hello, Mr. K. I took your advice and ordered rough greens for our beloved pit bull, Mario. He obviously loves it, and we have noticed a change in his stinky butt glands. But I think you should also inform the good people about the dope swag that comes with the order. We got a bandana, a cool storage container, treats, poo bags, and maybe more. Yeah, rough greens is just one of those companies, man. Not one of these gigantic corporations. Rough Greens does it right. They treat you right. They treat your dog right. There's Meow Greens now. If you're looking for your cat, get some nutrition into your dog and your cat. You will see differences. You will have that pet you love longer. Call them. Free Jumpstart Trial Bags. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, asking the fairly simple, fairly straightforward question that nobody in this country seems to be able to answer for me. Who actually puts the evil things that are in these bills in the bills? A high school student printing up a research paper for science class has to have citations. Where did you get this information? You have to be specific about things. You can write a book about how mouses go, about how mice go poop. Sorry, it's on my mind since I'm fighting the rats in my house. And if you write that book about mice poop, you will have to have citations in that critically unimportant book. Yet bills that govern the United States of America, bills whose job it is to stick their fat government fingers into your wallet, remove the money, and spend it for themselves, are not required to tell us who actually wrote the stuff. Who put the stuff in there? And it makes it all that much more hilarious when you go back and listen to not only members of the House of Representatives, members of the media, for how mad they are that a bill failed. The first continuing resolution failed. And they're all very, very, very upset about it, except not only do these people have no idea what is in the bill, they don't know who wrote it. And yet, they are devastated.
Holiday travel will be impacted. The ability of everyday Americans to visit their family, their friends, their loved ones will be impacted.
What about your family? Oh, really? What's in the bill? What about the family? I don't know. Hey, Hakeem. That was Hakeem Jeffries. Hey, Hakeem, who wrote the bill? Brian Stelter having a meltdown on CNN about Elon Musk shooting down the bill. Okay, that's fine, but what was in the bill that you're upset about? And hey, Brian, who wrote it?
But Musk, this unelected figure who has this enormous amount of power, it sometimes seems as if he's just starting to learn how the government functions. And as a result, some of his ex-posts are completely false. And by the way, it's not just me saying it. Representative Dan Crenshaw, a Republican lawmaker, tweeted to Musk last night and said, "I love you, Elon, but you need to take 5 seconds to check your sources before highlighting bottom feeders looking for clicks." You know, Musk likes to post anonymous accounts that are spreading misinformation. And let's recognize a lot of people have benefited from Musk. You know, the Tesla stock.
Yeah, I got it. Whoopi Goldberg today on The View. Man, this Elon Musk, how could he shoot down this bill that I don't know what it contained? And I don't know who wrote
it. Who is in charge? Because I've been saying it for a while.
Yes, you have.
I've been saying that I think Elon Musk believes he's president.
Yeah. Everyone's mad. Democrats are mad. Establishment Republicans are mad. Media people are mad. Everyone's mad about different things. I'm angry that I have no idea who actually governs the country. Because we would like to think our representatives, our senators, maybe write the laws, at least come up with the idea. Or if you're not going to write it, if you're not going to sit down and actually write out the law you want, at least, in the very least, could you maybe look over someone else's shoulder as they're writing it? Maybe dictate a few things, and then from there, maybe put your name on it or insist they put their names on it? Instead, we get 1,500 pages of crap and don't think it's dead. Again, back to that. Sorry to be King Cynic. They shot down the first one. That just means they're gearing up to do another one. 1,500 pages, and not a single person I have ever talked to in my life can tell me specifically who wrote it. That seemed like a problem to you? Maybe kind of a really, really, really big deal? It is. It's a really, really, really big deal. All right. One final word on this. I'm going to move off of all this funding stuff. I want to do a bunch of emails. We'll talk about this Biden story, bunch of illegal immigration talk, a bunch of that stuff tonight. But Trump came out today blasting away both barrels at Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. I know Chip. Chip is one of the most far-right people in the United States House of Representatives. And Trump came out today and threatened him with a primary. That's exactly what he did. Chip Roy's getting in the way of everything. And people are very, very angry today. Actually, this is the most anger I've seen in a while aimed at Trump. They don't understand what's going on. Why would Trump blast away at Chip Roy? So I'm going to lay this out for you very, very clearly. You may love what I'm about to say. You may hate it. I don't really care. What I'm about to tell you is the truth. Donald Trump, as I've explained many times, is a junkyard dog. He is a junkyard dog. Have you ever known somebody who has a junkyard dog? Have you ever known someone who has owned a junkyard? Why? What is that reputation of a junkyard dog? When you are looking for a junkyard dog, you are not looking for a gigantic fluffy teddy bear like Fred. When you buy a dog to protect your junkyard, it's only dirtballs and scumbags who raid junkyards, druggies, and all these people. When you get a dog to protect your junkyard, he attacks and bites everybody. And you love your junkyard dog when he eats the meth head as he's trying to steal your stuff. You hate the junkyard dog when he accidentally rips the throat out of the mailman and now you're going to prison. Why would Donald Trump come out today with both barrels and crucify Chip Roy? I will tell you exactly why. You may love it. You may hate it. I'll give you the background of it. And from there, we'll move on and do other stuff. Before I get to that, let me tell you about supporting the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. They didn't just come around yesterday. They've been around for over four decades. What have they been doing? Helping. Building bridges between Christians and Jews, helping the people on the ground who suffer because they have to live in a war zone. We don't know what that's like unless you're from Chicago. We don't live in war zones. We don't need flak jackets and bomb shelters. When you're in the back of an ambulance, and I hope you never are, but when you're in the back of an ambulance in America, you are very likely not going to have AK-47 rounds penetrating the walls. In Israel, you do. So how do you get a bulletproof ambulance? IFCJ provides it. How do you get that flak jack? IFCJ provides it. Go to supportifcj.org or call 888-488-4325. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It's also our last show before Christmas and whatnot, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Okay, Trump comes out today. I know a lot of you are angry about it, so let's just talk about the why. Trump comes out today, both barrels against Chip Roy, congressman from the state of Texas, if you're not familiar. Very, very, very far to the right. Hardcore conservative. One of the good ones. One of the real hardcores. And Trump gives it to him both barrels today. What's going on? Well, let's rewind for a while before we get into that specifically. Chip Roy was a Ron DeSantis guy in the primary. But before that, because I know that's what a lot of people think it is, but it actually goes back further than that. Before that, during Donald Trump's first term, Donald Trump got crossways, does not care for the caucus in the House of Representatives that you probably care for a lot, the House Freedom Caucus. It is the best caucus in the House of Representatives. It has the most hardcore people, the people who want to secure the border and cut spending and cut taxes, all the people who want all the things you want. That's the Freedom Caucus. If you want to know if your congressman's any good, generally go look and see if he's part of the Freedom Caucus, and that'll tell you why. But the Freedom Caucus, along with their other issues, they really are against government spending, government debt, government deficits. They say the spending has gotten way too much. The deficits have gotten to be way too high. It's bankrupting the country. That's stuff that I talk about a lot. Honestly, I agree with them on that. I'm not acting like I don't. But that is a big thing for the House Freedom Caucus. Now, Donald Trump hates that about them. Donald Trump has never once pretended to want to cut spending. He's never ever claimed the mantle of fiscal conservative. That's not how he looks at things. He was like this even in his private life. He just doesn't stress about debt. You acquire debt, you lose debt, you bankrupt, you move on. That's just kind of his philosophy on life. When it comes to the government and a nation's debt, I completely disagree with him on that. I think he's nuts, but that is his thinking. That's how he thinks. He does not like the House Freedom Caucus and their checks on spending and debt. Donald Trump wants to spend gargantuan amounts of money. And do not email me and yell at me about that. I don't give a crap about your opinion on it. What I just said is 100% true. It is. You can love that. You can hate it. Maybe you don't care either, but that's true. You know which president added more to the debt than any president in the history of this country did? Donald Trump in 4 years. A bigger 4-year jump than any president in history. He doesn't care about it. All right. The House Freedom Caucus does. So that created a clash already. Remember when Donald Trump came out and endorsed the primary challenger of Bob Good? It was weird because Bob Good is somebody really everyone on the right liked. Again, Freedom Caucus guy, wanted all the far right things. Trump challenges him and takes him out in a primary. And people were all, wait, what's that about? Why? Bob Good was the head of the Freedom Caucus. Trump hates the Freedom Caucus. Now we can get to the primary, last primary. Chip Roy was one of the very few people, there weren't many of them, one of the few elected officials who endorsed Ron DeSantis. He didn't come out and trash Trump or anything like that. He was just more of a DeSantis guy. Donald Trump holds grudges forever. Chip's part of the Freedom Caucus, who Trump already hates. Chip came out and backed Ron DeSantis. Now the hate gets ramped up times a million. Then this bill got shot down. But there's something about the bill getting shot down and the different ways people approach it. You were angry about that bill, right? You were angry about the 1,500-page bill. Why were you angry? You were angry about the vaccine mandate stuff and the congressional pay raises and the other. You were angry about all that stuff. You know what Donald Trump's first statement about that bill was yesterday? He was angry that the bill left in the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling, you know, the country has a debt ceiling. Well, Donald Trump doesn't want the country to have a debt ceiling. And I actually think he has a fair point when it comes to this, because what his point is, if you're just going to raise it all the time anyway, why would you worry about it? But this is, well, this is what he said. If Republicans try to pass a clean resolution without all the Democrat bells and whistles, that would be so destructive to the country. All it would do after January 20th is bring the mess of the debt limit into the Trump administration rather than allowing it to take place in the Biden administration. What he said, talking about the debt ceiling, even had a specific statement about the debt ceiling. Quote, Trump calls for abolishing the debt ceiling. That's from yesterday. All right. So your problem with the 1,500-page bill, Chip Roy's problem with the 1,500-page bill, is not Donald Trump's problem with the 1,500-page bill. Donald Trump's problem with the bill was you're shifting all the responsibility and dumping it in my lap, including you're dumping the debt ceiling fight into my lap. I don't want to have to deal with that as a new president. Pass a crappy bill. I don't care. Just dump it in Joe Biden's lap. Inside Washington, D.C., as we speak, Chip Roy and some others, again, they're back to the Freedom Caucus people. They have said, we are not going to pass a gigantic bloated spending bill that explodes the debt and deficit even more. We are not. Get something trimmed down. Let's do something serious. That is not what Donald Trump wants. And Donald Trump finally had enough of it. Again, there were three straws. There was his hatred of the Freedom Caucus, Chip Roy's endorsement of Ron DeSantis, and the fact that Chip Roy has become one of, if not the leading voices against this bloated CR. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And today, Donald Trump is on social media calling for a primary challenge, in fact, threatening one. Sounds like he's going to get involved, threatening a primary challenge to one of the most conservative members of the House of Representatives. I'm not telling you to love that. I'm not telling you to hate it. But that's the background on it. My opinion on it, this is clown, stupid, petty crap, and the last thing we ever need to hear from Donald Trump. Joni Ernst and Lindsey Graham have spent the last 3 weeks doing everything they can, not even really that quietly, to destroy Donald Trump's nominees. Pete Hegseth, RFK Jr., they are working as hard as they can to stop Donald Trump's agenda before it gets into place. And do you know how many times Donald Trump has gone on social media to call for a primary challenge for Lindsey Graham or Joni Ernst? Let me spoil it for you. Zero. Not once. Instead, it's Chip Roy. No one hits it 100%. Donald Trump's hatred of the Freedom Caucus is going to bubble out. You know, primarying Bob Good was stupid too. I told you at the time, it was dumb. It was idiotic. This is dumb. It's idiotic. It's counterproductive. But that is the game behind the game. That's why all this is happening. That's the hatred for Chip Roy. Now we're going to move on from all this because I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it for you. And I think I'm done with the debt talk until they actually pass it, which they'll probably pass it in a week or so. They're going to pass a massive bill, and it's going to be awful. It may not be 1,500 pages. The next one will be 1,400 pages. It's going to be awful. And then the fight begins again in January or March of next year, and we'll see how it goes from there. Me, I've been doing politics. I mean, I've only been doing media for 6 years, but I've been into it for the longest time. I've been into it since I got out of the Marine Corps, since I was 23, 24, 25 years old. And in the entire time I've been doing it, Washington, D.C. has never cut a single penny. And so I'm not under any illusion they're going to cut one now either. A man can hope, but what you going to do? Anyway, at least Relief Factor only costs $19.95. At least there's that. 3 weeks of it. You see, the daily pain that holds you back, that ruins your sleep, that ruins your day, that ruins your activities, that you don't have to accept it. You don't have to ignore it, and you don't have to keep taking things that mask it. You don't have to do that. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks. It's a nutritional supplement, drug-free, 100% drug-free. It helps your body's natural response to inflammation. You might be 3 weeks away from that pain in your shoulder, in your back, in your muscles, gone. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. You're almost there. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review talking about how big my hands are. If you missed history last night, starting about hour two, I went on a long history story about the Philippine-American War. Glad you enjoyed that so much. That is nice. I certainly enjoyed doing it. Let's do some voicemails and emails before we get to this breaking news from the Wall Street Journal about Joe Biden.
Yes, hi, Jesse. I live in Miami, Florida, and we're very close to Cuba, as you know. And apparently China and Russia and who knows, North Korea, Iran, all of them, they're all in bed together. But anyway, there's been talk of China bringing their ships over there for the first time. And I was wondering if something could be done with Cuba because they're just so close to our shores.
Well, that's an ugly story, isn't it? It's a story that we don't love. Remember, we got involved in Cuba. We were involved in Cuba. And I'm not blaming Cuba on us, but Cuba was, for the longest time, it was a place that was great to us, and it was critically important on the world stage. The sugarcane, so freaking valuable. And Cuba was, from what I understand, this is before my time because of Castro and the revolution, which we'll get to, Cuba was the tourist hotspot in the Caribbean. It's where people went. Of course, the mafia, they were famously involved in it, but that's more of just a reflection of the money that was flowing into Cuba. People wanted to go down to Cuba to spend time on the beach, to stay at a nice hotel, to put 20 bucks on the blackjack table, to do these things. And we were heavily invested in that. We had corporations invested in that. We were Cuba, really. And the people began to chafe against that. And this is when Fidel Castro fired up his revolution and that was a big old freaking mess. And once Castro took over Cuba, we had an enemy not far off of the Florida coast. Obviously, you know this history already. And that's a huge, huge problem. And once you have an enemy, look, let's explain it this way. Have you ever had a neighbor you didn't get along with? A neighbor who was a problem? Maybe you guys flat out argue. Maybe it's just a tense situation. Maybe they play music too loud on Friday nights and you've had it out with them about that. Maybe their dog poops in the yard, whatever. Have you ever had problems with your neighbor? Problems with your neighbor are a big deal because he's your neighbor. If you have a problem with the guy across town, it's not a big deal. But when you have to live in the same neighborhood, well, it becomes an everyday occurrence. To have your mortal enemies seize territory, a large island right off the coast of your country, was always going to be a big deal, and we knew it was going to be a big deal. That's why the Bay of Pigs happened. That's why we tried to take it back. That's why we spent so much time trying to kill Fidel Castro. We knew it was going to be an issue to have a country that close being hostile to us. We were unable to kill that crafty dude. We tried everything to kill him. We tried to enlist the mafia to help us. We tried everything to try to kill that guy, and we were never able to kill that guy. And to this day, they're hostile. And to this day, we pay. What can we do about it? I don't know, because all those countries you just listed, they're all hostile to us. It's just a bad state of affairs. Jesse, I enjoy your show. All the subject of this one is, please take down the King Jesse pick. I don't know if you've seen the simulcast yet. Remember, you can watch the simulcast on the First TV. You can watch me do the show. But right behind me, over my right shoulder, I had a portrait made by some artists who should really win awards. They should. And there is, I'll have you know, it's not a picture of King Jesse. I'm not arrogant. It's a prince, okay? The title was Prince. And there I am, and I have this sword there. My hands look huge, and I'm in all this royal garb, if you will. And I do have a crown on my head. And so it's really a reflection of who I am, I would like to say. And what Chris and this guy emails, he says, Jesse, I enjoy your show, but I can't stomach the background of the King Jesse picture. It looks arrogant and, quite frankly, creepy and cringy. When that picture is up, I automatically change the channel and I miss the message of your show. And then he says, Godspeed. Well, I've got some bad news. I love the picture. And we have one really big picture now. Not only am I not taking it down, we're going to be adding other pictures. Maybe the next one will be me as a general. Maybe the next one will be me as a king. Maybe I'll promote myself. Right now, there's one picture. In a year, there might be 10 pictures. Is it arrogant? My gosh, yes, it is. It is. But it's really for people, honestly, I can see why you would change the channel, because it's really meant for people with a sense of humor. That's really what it's for. And if you're not one of these people, and I've known these people, remember, I believe that's probably God-given, whether you have one or not, so I'm not judging. But if you're one of these people who can't laugh at yourself, who can't goof off, this is not the show for you. You need to change the channel. You said you changed the channel. You don't understand. I want you to change the channel. We don't need to be together. There's a million radio stations out there. There's all kinds of boring, lame crap. They take themselves very, very seriously. And you should go listen to one of those shows. That would be better for you. And it'll work out better for me. So change the channel, because there are more pictures coming. In fact, now the next one will be twice as arrogant and obnoxious as this one. I'll even get a bigger one now if I can possibly find one. Let me also tell you about Done For You Real Estate. I may be a king after all the Done For You Real Estate investing. You see, normal people don't know how to invest in real estate. I don't. What do you know? What market do I do? What kind of house? Big, small? What do I do? I don't have to know. Done For You Real Estate knows. They know the markets. They handle the financing. They handle the closing. But what about renting out the house? I don't know how to rent out a house. They do that too. Done For You Real Estate holds your hand and walks you through every part of investing in real estate. This is for normal people to get rolling. You might retire on this all day. We're talking tax-free income over time. DoneForYouJesse.com is where you go to find out more. DoneForYouJesse.com. Let's talk about this Wall Street Journal article on the diminished Joe Biden next.
This is an iHeart podcast.